We'll read till verse 18. Acts 11, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, sorry, Sheila. Yeah, I misplaced my cup. There's a spill. Thank you. Verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. They argued, they disputed with him over what had happened, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eats with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and he expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, and it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came even to me. And upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay, and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. Ah, that's right, don't worry about it. It's okay. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God has cleansed, do not call common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, and nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and when we entered in, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning, talking about Pentecost. And then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace, and they glorified God, saying, Then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Tonight, primarily, the focus of the thought or the message are the last two verses of this text. Though we'll go through the whole thing as Peter did with those people in Jerusalem. Let's read again verses 17 and 18. I've got these underlined in my Bible, my paper one. I've got them highlighted in my iPad Bible. They are hugely important verses. Again, verse 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I? Y'all underline this statement. What was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, the leaders in Jerusalem, they held their peace and they glorified God, saying, God has also sent to the Gentiles repentance unto life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this is a real kind of short thought tonight, I think, and it won't take much time at all. But I really am not concerned about the clock, and I'm really not concerned about how short of a time that we might be here looking at this scripture. Lord, we really need to ask ourselves the same question or the same statement that Peter asked of himself. Who am I that I would hinder God? And Lord, I pray that you'd help me rightly divide the word of truth. I pray you would help your church tonight to rightly receive the correctly taught truth and word of God. Lord, we are nothing without this book. We are nothing without the power of your Spirit in our life. we can do nothing, we can say nothing, and we can be nothing that will affect this world, that will change their lives spiritually, unless we properly see God's Word in our life. And Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us to put aside our personal preferences, help us to put aside the things, Lord, even if it's something that we have done for a long, long time, if it doesn't honor You, if it hinders the work of God, Lord, help us to reconsider what we are doing. Lord, we are not to be in the image of man, in the image of religion, in the image of a church, but we are to be in the image of Jesus Christ. And the way in which we know about that image is through this book. So therefore, Lord, we are to be in the image of the Word of God. And I pray that You would help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, what a powerful statement. It is one little statement in the midst of 18 verses. Peter talks a lot, as it's pretty obvious that he likes to do. He talks a lot, and he's a very powerful speaker, but he's very simple, and he's very to the point. But he made this statement, "Who am I that I could withstand God?" Why is that so important? It's important because for the last 10 years or so, the Jerusalem church, Peter, the other apostles, they were being Christians as Jews. And they were reaching no one really but Jews. They had breached previously into the Samaritans, but that, even though they hated the Samaritans and the Samaritans hated them, it wasn't quite as bad as going and talking to dogs. Because the Gentiles, Andrew, right? They were the dogs. They were the downcasted people. They were the ones that they were nothing. And so do you realize for 10 years, they didn't take the gospel to the dogs. They didn't witness to those people. They kept it within the Jewish realm for the most part. And they did it as Jews. Where would they meet for church? Anybody? They met in each other's houses, and where else? They met at the temple. They met at the temple. They observed different feasts. They did things in a very Jewish manner. And so all of a sudden in chapter 10, we find out, in the latter part of chapter 10, we find out that God prepared Simon, and Simon went down into where Cornelius was, and Peter preached the gospel there. And what is the most amazing thing is this: God used that one situation to open the gospel up to the Gentile world. If they hadn't done that, if God hadn't decided to have Peter go down there and preach the gospel to Cornelius, maybe we would still be outside of the realms of the gospel reach. Not possible, because it was always in the scriptures and prophecy that the gospel would go to the Gentiles. But do you understand the point? For 10 years, the people in the Jerusalem church said, no, we don't do that way. We don't eat with Gentiles. We don't converse with Gentiles. We don't spend time with the Gentiles. We don't take the gospel to the Gentiles. Do you understand what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, Peter goes down there and he witnesses to them. And when the church back in Jerusalem heard about it, look what happened. Go to verse 2 again. And look what happened. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, those within the Jerusalem church that held to these laws and held to circumcision and held to the feast and felt very Jewish about their faith in Christ, they disputed with Peter. They argued with him. And they said to him, "You went into uncircumcised men and you ate with them. How dare you do that? You don't eat with those people. They're not like us. They're not part of us. You know, we are special." Do you understand? They completely separated from them. Yet prophecy in the Old Testament was very clear that eventually the gospel would go to the Gentiles. You can't get away from it. All throughout the prophets, the story is there that the gospel would go to the Gentiles. What hindered them? Their tradition and their culture. Because the word of God was clear. What hindered them was their tradition and culture. Peter said, look, I went down there and I talked to them about Jesus. And all that they could say to him is, look what you have done. They didn't say anything about, praise God, Peter, look at what God is doing. All they looked at was how he went against their tradition, how he went against their style of worship, how he went against their code. Do you understand? I mean, this is very clear from Scripture. Acts 10, Acts 11, it opens up the gospel to the Gentiles, but what hindered it? The people themselves. 10 years they just spent within the city of Jerusalem. So what did Peter have to do? He rehearsed because he knew it would be a problem. He knew as soon as he went there and they found out that he had been talking to the Gentiles, they wouldn't see that God was doing a work. All that they would see is that you did something against our traditions and our culture. Amen? I mean, Jews are heavy with traditions, right? So Peter said, look, I've been rehearsing what has happened concerning Cornelius. And so from the beginning of where it began to the end, where it ended, Peter talked to them again. He said, look, I saw a vision of a sheet let down. And on that sheet was a bunch of animals that I had never eaten before. And there was a voice that said, Peter, kill those animals and eat them. And in essence, enjoy them, partake of them. Allow them to be a part of your diet now. And Peter said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything like this before. I've never done anything like this before. As a matter of fact, for all my life, from my childhood up, turn me down a little bit, from my childhood and up, I've never touched anything that was unclean. Peter said, no, Lord, I can't do it. And God said, what I have deemed clean, Peter, don't you call it unclean. What I've said to you is okay to do, don't you say that it's not okay. What I am opening up for an avenue for you, don't you close down the avenue. And it was so important for Peter to get this message clearly across into his life. The Bible says that God gave him the message 3 times. I understand the repeating of messages. Do it with my family all the time. You know, look at me. Look at me. Dad, you've already told me. I know, but I'll feel better if I tell you again. Why? Because I want to make sure they understand it clearly without having to think about it, really. I want them to get the message. And they're probably thinking, oh, my soul, Dad, repeat, repeat. But I do, don't I, hon? Sometimes I probably shouldn't. But I understand what God was doing here. Peter, what was Peter? Stubborn, hard-headed, opinionated, full speed ahead without thinking about it kind of stuff. Remember Jesus in the water? Renee, I can't wait for you to get onto the Sea of Galilee. And we get on that boat, and Daniel is a messianic Jew. And he starts singing, how great thou art. It'll make a Pentecostal out of a Baptist. I mean, I was about ready to shout amen. It stirred my heart so much. I'm thinking, Jesus walked right there. We're singing, how great thou art. And we are in Israel. Amazing. And I'm thinking, you know, Peter was in that little bitty boat, and we will take you guys to Peter's museum, and you will see a replica that they found like nearly 2,000 years ago, right, honey, of a boat that they used on the Sea of Galilee. Probably not the boat they were in, but around that time frame, they've saved this boat, and it's in the museum, and you will see it, and it's not that big. It would hover about that far above the water. The edge of the boat would be about that far, and there's the water. And here, the waves are splashing and going crazy. When Jesus got on the boat and said, peace be still, but now here's the Lord coming. And the waves are going crazy, and Peter just jumps up and out the boat. He didn't have to climb over a side. He just goes, bing, and he's out the boat, and off he goes, and he's doing that. I mean, Peter was brash, wasn't he? And his face sometimes, he just went after it. And I like that kind of thing about Peter. So God told him three times, Peter, eat it. What I've cleaned, don't you consider unclean. Peter, go. So three men came from the house from Caesarea, and they knocked on the door and they inquired for Peter. And Peter was up on the roof having this vision from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit said to Peter, when they realized that the men were down at the door asking for him, the Lord said to him, Peter, why don't you go with those guys and do not make any distinctions about them. Okay, that's a big deal. Because all Peter's life, he distinguished between Jew and Gentile. He cut the line and said, Jew, Gentile. God says to Peter, Peter, don't make any more distinctions. Because I'm getting ready to do a work where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female. We are all one under Jesus Christ. And he says, go with them. So Peter went into Cornelius' house. And you know, it's a pretty amazing thing when you read it in Acts 10 and the repeat here in Acts 11. Peter, he said, what do you want? And Cornelius said, well, had an angel come down to me, and an angel told me to call for you, and that angel said that when you come, you would tell us, each of us in this home, how to be saved. And Peter knew immediately what to do. And Peter said, I began to speak. You know what he meant? He began to preach the gospel. That lady Vida came into the church and I first took her outside there. I kneeled on the carpet and asked her what she wanted. And some of you know, some of you don't know that we had a lady come in here earlier, and she said, I want some holy water. I want some holy water because I'm having some bad dreams, and I feel that, here's what she said. She says, you're going to think I'm a nut, but I believe demons are trying to get in my house. And who am I to doubt her? I know they're real. And so I said to her, I don't have any holy water, Vida, but I got something better than holy water. And I grabbed my wife and I said, honey, I'm going to take her into the office and I'll leave my door open so you can see in there, everybody. And I'm going to talk to her. And I took my Bible and I shared the gospel with her. Do you know that there's nothing more that we can share with people that will help them than the gospel? We don't need to tell them about how to turn a new leaf. And we don't need to tell them, well, just keep coming to church and you'll find out about it maybe one day. No. You know what? If God puts people into the midst of our life, we need to share the gospel of Christ with them. I don't know if that lady will ever come back into our church again, but I know this much. I've told her about Jesus Christ. And when Peter went into that house, that's exactly what he did. He began to preach the gospel from the beginning to the end. He talked about Christ and what Christ did and how he died and paid for sin and how he rose again the third day. And when all that was going on, they began to speak in tongues. Why? At that time in Bible works, tongues was a sign that God was doing a work in that group of people and bringing them the gospel. It happened on the day of Pentecost. It happened again when the 12 disciples of John, 20 years after the gospel was presented to them, they spoke in tongues. And it happened here with Cornelius when God began to move in a different direction and take the gospel to the Jews, take the gospel to those disciples of John, and take the gospel to the Gentiles. The sign of them receiving it was the Holy Spirit coming upon them and they speaking in tongues. And then this is what Peter said. I remembered what the Lord said. In Acts 11:16, he said, I remembered what the word of the Lord was when he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And from this point on, in the working of God, when people were getting saved, when people got saved, we no longer see a laying on of hands for the Holy Spirit, but we see immediately indwelt by the Spirit of God when people called out to Christ and got saved. This is the example by which we follow today. When we are saved, we are immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter remembered that. And it was an amazing thing because this is what he said. Day of Pentecost, and he remembers all the way back to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down upon them in the upper room. And then Peter went out and he preached the gospel message to those Jews, and 3,000 of them got saved. Now, many years later, he's doing it again in the same spirit. He remembered what the word was. He remembered what happened to them. He understood it. And this is what he said. God is doing a work here. So here's what happened. God prepared Cornelius and his house by sending them an angel. God prepared Peter to witness to him by having those men go to Simon the Tanner's home and call him to come to Cornelius' house. And when Peter got to Cornelius' house, he proclaimed the gospel purely and simple. In verse 14 of Acts 11, it says this, Peter will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Do you understand? Same God, same work, same salvation. How can I call unclean what God has called clean? You know the beauty in this? There was no compromise in Peter's gospel. There was no worldly methods in Peter's gospel. He didn't use any kind of technique. He just told them about Jesus Christ. And then, when they told him about Christ, they showed an effect of that. In other words, what the Bible calls, they showed meat. They showed fruit that was meat for repentance. In other words, what came out of their life was proof that they had been born again. You know, John the Baptist was speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when he was baptizing down the Jordan River, right there kind of across from Jericho. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were railing on him and causing problems. And he says, you know what? You need to show forth fruit to repentance. Because just saying you're religious, just saying that you're a believer, just saying that you know God is not enough. There ought to be something in our life that shows forth that we're born again. And you know what it is? It's a changed life. It is a changed life. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad there's people growing in this church. We're not where we ought to be, but I'm certainly glad we're not where we used to be. I'm not worried about us being at perfection. I'm concerned about us moving towards that perfection. The only time we're going to have perfection is when we see Jesus Christ. Do you know what? Can I just say, be easy on people while they're growing. You know, the prophets, I think it's in the book of Isaiah. It says when the Messiah comes and he sees a broken reed, he's not going to chop it off. When he sees a smoldering wick, you know, a candle that the flame has gone out, but it's still smoking a little bit, he's not going to come over and go, psh. You know what that means? God doesn't just break us off and say, you know what, you're a little bit broken, done, and cut you off. God gives time for us to heal and to mend and to grow. And you know what, you and I ought to be looking at everybody in this room as a broken reed and a smoldering wick that we don't want to break off completely and we don't want to put out and stop that smoke from smoldering up into a flame again. What we ought to be is we ought to say, I want to be a helper and I want to be an encourager. Maybe we're not where we should be. But praise God, we are going in that direction. You know what I think would be great for our church and would bring great unity to the body? If we just started encouraging each other for what we see as growth in each other's lives. Amen? Amen? Hey, if praise brings a thankful heart, encouragement will bring a growing heart. Lisa tells me all the time, crushes out the spirit. I say, hey man, I'm glad you did the dishes. Hey man, I'm glad you hoovered up the floor. Hey man, I'm glad you came to church when no one else did and you cleaned the building so that we can come and worship. I know it's tough to do that, but I praise the Lord for that. You know what? That helps people and encourages them on. Amen? Hey, you know what Peter's telling the Jews? He's saying, look, this is a work of God. And when Peter saw the Cornelius's family and friends get saved, he said, who was I to withstand God? Who was I that I should hinder the work of God? Yeah, I don't like eating with Gentiles. I've never ate with Gentiles in all my life. I don't associate with them people. But man alive, who am I that can say, God, you're wrong for what you're doing? And you know what Peter did? He said, I will get out of the way. And if God wants me to do this, then I will do it. He broke no commands of Scripture, though he broke the tradition of men. He didn't compromise to worldly methodology, but he blew the minds of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem because they never done this before. And Peter goes and says, look, I don't want to be in the way of God's work. And church, look at me. Just everybody look at me. I'm up here. Come here. Up here. We can't hinder God's work. We will not do anything worldly. We will not do anything sinful. We will not do anything against this book. But man, if God's working, let us let God work. I like to hear Joel sing. It's not some of y'all's style. I know that. But when I hear Joel sing, I don't hear a style. What I hear is a man that had found the Savior, and he is singing about that and letting it come out of his heart. Amen? Amen? I'm sad because he's leaving. Joel's going to go back to Africa in probably October, right, Joel? I'm not letting you go any sooner, so you just better say yes, Pastor, October. He's going to go back to Africa, and then when he comes back in January, he's going to be working on his PhD at Oxford. We won't get to see him a lot. But I'm thankful for the spirit that he has, and I'm thankful for him just wanting to serve Christ and to do something for the Lord. Someone came to me this afternoon after the morning service, and we've been talking to him about joining the church, and in the next few weeks, and we might have three or four different people be joining our fellowship. And when someone came to me today and said, you know what? I'm ready to do this, and I want to be a part of this fellowship. And they said, I just want to be a blessing. I just want to help us as a church reach other people and to be used of the Lord. No, we're not all the same. We're different. We come from different cultures, and we come from different traditions, and we come from different backgrounds. But God's brought us all in this building for one purpose, to bring us together and use us for His glory and honor. You know what the point in this text is? And this is the point. The fact that they brought the gospel is now going to the Gentiles, that's the main point. But there is a subpoint to this that is as strong as that main point. And this is what the subpoint is. And it's found in verse 17, in that latter part, when he says, who am I to hinder or withstand God? The point is this. God made no distinction between Jew and Gentile. So how could Peter? God used a method that had not been previously used. Face to face with Gentiles. Let's just be simple about it. If we're in Africa, we might use bongos. If we're down there in Papua New Guinea, we might use the old dart, the poison dart spitter thing and put holes in it and play the flute. I don't know. But we would use different ways in the culture. And God said to Peter, you got to come out of your culture, man. because I want to reach people. No compromise, no sin, nothing like that, just a little bit of a different thinking. Warren Wiersbe, who's one of the best Bible theologians that's alive today, said this. When it comes to Peter saying, I didn't want to hinder the work of God, and when it comes to this text about God changing the mindset of the church and doing some things they hadn't normally done, but that's not sin, but just doing it a little bit differently, here's what he says. Christians are to receive one another and not dispute over cultural differences or minor matters of personal conviction. Amen? Hey, God's brought us Africans and Filipinos and English people and American people. Sad to say, some Canadian people. Yeah, sorry? Hey, oh, yes, jerk chicken, right? Jamaican people. We've got several folks from the Caribbeans. We've got all kinds of folks, and God put them in this pot. And he said, I want to stir you up so that you can be used of God. And if the Lord in his word does not make a distinction about something, then we shouldn't make the distinction. And that's what Peter is saying. We can have preferences. I have preferences. My wife has preferences. She prefers in October to keep the window shut. I prefer in October to keep the window open. We all have preferences. But you know what we end up doing? Compromising. We just keep a little teeny bitty open. And then she falls asleep and I open it all the way. And then she goes, wakes up in the morning and I close it all the way. I mean, do you understand? You work together. Ought not to be fighting. Ought not to be disunion. Ought not to be sourness when we come to worship. We ought to work these things out according to how Peter said. And Peter told the people in church, he said, who am I to hinder the work of God? I just want God to work, he says. You know, in our church, like I just said, we don't have one culture. So what cultural preference should we follow? We got a dozen cultures in this place. You know what we should do? We should take all that is good from all of those cultures and bring them all together and worship God as a people. Because if you can prove to me that that's what heaven's not going to be like that, then we won't do that. But that's what's heaven going to be like. You know, we're going to take on the culture of heaven. We'll have to worry about American culture or Latvian culture or Moldovan culture or Canadian culture or jerk chicken culture. I mean, you know, we won't have to worry about it. We'll have the culture of heaven. In the meantime, Andrew, God's put us here. And what God has said is clean, we ought not to call it unclean. You know what my biggest fear is? Well, I'll tell you my biggest fear in a minute. But over the last 10 years, do you know what God has done in our heart? It is this very mentality of saying, we don't do it that way. We've never done it that way. We do it this way. I've had to fight that mentality since I've landed in England. I come to England and I brought an American hymn book. And guess what I found? That church that we were working up in Market Harbor didn't know any of them American hymns. You know, they all knew British hymns. After a while, we knew a little bit of both, I think. But I had to change and work to what fit here. What I'm saying to us as a church, ask yourself something. Am I hindering the work of God? There's not a person in this room that wants to hinder the work of God. Not a soul here wants to do that. Sometimes I think we have to look at ourselves and see what we're doing and ask, am I hindering the work of God? I ask it all the time. Matter of fact, I ask my wife sometimes, tell me if I do something that's not going to help this place. I've said that to Renee. I've said that now to Andrew. I hope I've said it to you. If I've not, I'm saying it now. Listen, my biggest fear is this, that we will not be like Peter and we will not say, who am I to withstand the work of God? Let us not hold back the work of God because we have our preferences as law. Where the law is law, we will keep it as the law. But where it is preference, we need to ask ourselves, are we hindering the work of God? So here's a good verse that we can close with tonight. It's Romans 14:1. He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. What's it mean? It means this. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. You know what? If there's doubtful things, don't argue about it. If there's something in what we do that can cause a brother to stumble, we ought not to do it. And don't take this to the extreme and say, you know what? Pastor Steve said, you know what? Let's have at it and let's just do anything. I am not saying that. What I'm saying is this. If God okays it, don't let us say it's not okay. Measure everything by Scripture. Measure everything by the Spirit. And let us not hinder God's work. Because if we come into this place bitter, angry, disputing, resentful, whatever, there ain't a way in this world that we can go forward. So it's better that we put down our preferences, get together, talk about things, love one another, and beg God for His mercy and power, and go out and tell this world that there's a Jesus that changes people. Amen? That's all I got to say. Thank you. Let's pray.